And now, NAI Pop presents a unique show where two dads talk about the topics that interest them: sports, wrestling, and a splash of pop culture information to help them survive in a world of wives and kids. Now, please welcome your hosts, professional wrestler and new dad, Scotty Slade, and retired executive and seasoned dad, Jamie Jamikowski. Welcome to For the Pops on the NAI Pop Network.
You are listening to For the Pops on the NAI Pop Network. This is a show where two pops, myself, Jamie Jamikowski, the entrepreneur of New England wrestling, we talk about everything under the sun: wrestling, pop culture, music, movies, you name it, we talk about it. And this is episode 27. And I was going to come up with a fancy term, but Jamie, I think I'm going to treat it more like the Cold Fury names you used to come up with. So this is For the Pops 27, Uncharted Waters.
Oh, goodness. I like that.
Yes. Phoebe is running around the basement with me right now. She's watching Wheels on the Bus. And I'm incredibly nervous. I don't know how this is going to go. I don't know if we're going to get it through the episode. If she decides to have a meltdown, we might even catch audio of it.
Good news is, if she does kind of jump in, she'll be better than some of the guests we've had on in the past.
That's true.
So that's okay.
It won't be like a Julie and Susanna episode.
Oh, gosh. Don't bring that one up.
But as always, we do like to have a third rotating guest. And Jamie and I have decided we're going to bring back none other than one half of the Slade brothers, a one-time, theoretically, Corey Sage, one-third of the Metro Men. We are bringing back the Ray. Ray, how are you doing?
Hey, Merry Christmas, everybody. I'm doing fine. Was I one third? I think it was like actually one quarter. It was four of us, really.
It was four, but I don't think there was ever four at one time. It was always one. It was only three.
And that Susanna-Julian episode, that was a good episode. What was wrong with that episode?
You know what the problem with that episode was?
Yeah.
The problem with that episode was is there was more gold when we weren't recording. And yeah. I think that's why Jamie and I were upset. I'll put it this way. Susanna is a amazing guest. Once she finally opens up to tell stories.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It was also pretty early on in For the Pops, so Slade, I don't think you and I were as comfortable with certain guests. I think if we had them back, it would be a better show, because I think we would bring out a little bit more in both of them.
Yeah, we when we first started, we were so fixated on tailor-making shows that sometimes we were out of our own elements. So this way we couldn't dictate the direction sometimes.
Valentine's Day is coming up.
Oh, that's right. We do our annual sex and romance show, Slade.
Oh, my God. That's right. It's funny because even thinking about today, I'm like, what are we going to talk about? And I realized that a year ago today we were talking about holidays and shopping preferences and things of that when we had Monique on.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we've officially hit, Jamie. We've hit the this time last year.
Oh, this is exciting.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's,
I think it was right around this time last year, and I should probably release the audio on it. Maybe I could find it and plug it in at the end of this show as a little bonus content. But the famous Tarzan quote during one of the very first For the Pop quizzes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we used to record in your in the old warehouse.
In the old warehouse, yeah.
Those were some early days.
One of the Tarzan quotes had to be cut out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. But yeah, so when this airs, it's going to be Friday the 14th. Christmas is right around the corner. I apologize. Meanwhile, while this game's going on, Jamie, you are actually playing Ray and I in one of our fantasy leagues in a first round.
I was going to bring that up. That we're actually in the middle of round one playoff. Matchup tonight,
and I'm watching Williams just go for runs right now, and the problem is there's two D Williams, and I'm having a very hard time to distinguishing the two.
26 and 31. 26 is the good one. 26 is the good one.
Okay, 26 is the good one. Good to know.
I need Kansas City to start putting the ball in the air. I need Tyreek Hill to do something tonight.
Oh, that's not gonna happen, my friend. He is hurt.
Oh, stop it. He's fine. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
I mean, he's in better shape than Keenan Allen, isn't he?
Yeah, apparently. Keenan Allen's under the blue tent, so yeah.
Oh, the blue tent of death.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ray,
yeah.
with Christmas around the corner, I don't think I've ever talked to you about because for those that don't know, Ray's not like he's a pop, Jamie. You know, he's good. He's a pop of three.
That's yeah, right. I am a pop of three.
So like Ray, like when you buy for your kids,
yeah.
Do you guys go like?
You know, it's like buying for kids is ridiculous.
Like what are their ages, Ray?
So they are 14, 13, and 9.
Okay.
So, this year, so for example, this year they want laptops, they want tablets, and they want, the Nintendo Switch, and then they want, a bunch of games, and then they want a Steam gift card, and then there was a coloring book thrown in there somewhere. So they want a whole bunch of stuff. So yeah. It gets expensive because there's three of them, you know? So, yeah, it gets expensive.
I bought Phoebe 50 rubber ducks for $8. So when she takes a bath, I'm just going to overwhelm her with the amount of rubber duckies that she has.
Dude, she's right there. Don't spoilers.
She can hear everything you're saying.
You know what? She's still in that, like, perfect age where it's just we literally can buy Christmas gifts in front of her. And she'll already forget by the time she opens them.
You're about to hit the next stage of where you'll have to spell things in front of her. That's always a good one.
Wrong, because that's how he spells things incorrectly. So he'll be spelling things wrong in front of her.
Kyle will be like, what the hell are you saying?
I spelt out suffocating.
Yeah, well, you know what? When the kids were young, when they were like Phoebe's age, easy. 100% right. The easiest thing in the world, because it was just like stuffed animals. It was just like the dumbest things. I could go to Walmart and be like, oh, they'll love this, blah, blah, blah. Now it's like specific expensive things. So right. You get lucky right now.
But did you have to like race for anything? Like, is there any like hot items for kids?
For kids? No, I've never raced for them. I've raced for items myself, but I've never raced for items for them because a lot of the stuff is just, you can buy it online.
I was actually telling Jamie our last episode, we talked about like Black Friday, and yeah. I tried to like briefly tell the story. I think there was like a TV doorbuster that you grabbed a TV, went around the corner and sat curled up position just to make sure nobody took it from you.
You know, there was a couple of times like that. One of them was the TV where the guy tried to rip it out of my hands and we got into a fight. And then the other time, okay, but like he grabbed it, like it wasn't the thing like where he was an accident. He was trying to wrestle it away from me, and I we got into a fight and pushing match, and I pushed him out of the way. It was crazy that it, like someone was trying to grab my hand. But the good time was when I was like whenever N64 came out. I don't know when the hell that was. They had a sale at like Walmart, and this was like I would just stood outside waiting in line. And I waited, there was like a line of about 100 people. I was like the second person in line. And you know how they have those little trap doors where it's like between outside and like inside where you can like walk in one? So like we were inside that section of like right before you can walk into Walmart. And so they could see
the airlock.
Right, the airlock. And they could see those people freaking out and like getting all restless. So they decided to move the N64s up front in front of them. So they only had like maybe 15 of them. And they had them next to like a movie section, like I think Independence Day was there, and they had like a whole mess of like Mountain Dew bottles, and they put them all next to there. And so they come over, they open the door, and these people just funnel onto these things, and I jump over. I remember jumping over somebody. I was like 12. I jumped over somebody onto the pile of N64s and just grabbed it and hugged it as hard as I could. And then at some point, someone grabbed me, which I later found out was my father, and I tried to elbow him, and I missed, and I hit, like, the Mountain Dew display, which I knocked over, was ridiculous. So I get out of there without a shoe and holding on to the N64s.
You lost a shoe?
Yeah, I never got the shoe back. I lost the shoe completely because we went back to the thing after running through the aisles looking for the video game section to get the actual games, which I ended up getting, but I lost the shoe. Never got the shoe back. And I remember leaving, right? And I remember, this is one of the biggest things that I remember. I remember leaving and walking out with my N64 pumped, and this lady next to me walking out excited, holding her Super Nintendo that she got for her kid. Clearly a mistake. And unfortunately for that kid, that year was going to suck.
That's fantastic. fantastic.
You know, Slade, when we talked about this a few shows ago, I actually lied. There was one Black Friday when I was a kid that I lined up at a store to get a toy that year. What, and it was actually toy? it was the Zayers in North Reading, Massachusetts. And it was laser tag.
Oh. Yep. Wait, was that like the system? I mean, how old are you, Jamie? I apologize.
I'm 47.
So there's like a 14-year gap between like a 10-year gap, 13-year gap, whatever. There was a system when I was a kid where it was like a backpack style strapped to your chest. Mm-hmm. The guns were like black.
Yep.
Is that the same thing?
Yeah, very similar, yeah. Like, they That's had these amazing. Little, like, big sensors you'd wear, and, like, you could either wear them, like, on a chest strap like Chewbacca, or they had vests. Then they had helmets. Yeah. Then at one point, as I got older, because I matured, I actually had the rifle.
That's awesome.
That was cool.
That's fantastic. Yeah, luckily I've not hit that piece with the Phoebe yet, to the point that I just walk into – I even saw an item today I almost bought her. It was the what are those, like, 8-volt – whatever they are, the remote control cars that you can actually like sit and ride in.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
The Power Wheels.
Yeah, I don't know if she's old enough for it yet, but it says 18 months. Yeah. I don't know. We'll give it a whirl.
What's she gonna do? Get into an accident? It's going like 2 miles an hour.
Maybe. You never know. So, but well, with that said, are you doing anything, Ray? You going back to Rhode Island?
I'm gonna be going back to Rhode Island probably for Christmas. Yeah, I gotta go shopping for the family back there, which. Which I guess is fun.
Did your parents hint to any big gifts?
My parents have not hinted to any gifts whatsoever. I'm an adult. I don't need my parents' gifts anymore.
Jamie, there was a year of Christmas that his parents were hinting. I'm afraid if we already told this story, whatever. But like, when they were hinting, a very big gift was coming his way, and his girlfriend at the time was saying, "Ray, you are gonna love this gift," and Ray was convinced it was a brand new car. He was already figuring out,
God,
like,
no.
Oh, man. He was like, this is going to be great. My car is about to go. I need a new one. My parents know this. So I'm getting a new car. Ba, ba, ba. His girlfriend's just, like, getting him super hyped. Like, your parents really went above and beyond. They really figured out what you wanted, and it's going to be awesome. Ray talked about it literally twice a day.
I was convinced. Yeah, I was convinced I was getting a car.
Christmas came, and Ray, what did you get?
I got SmackDown tickets.
He got three so he could bring his friend Scotty.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I got three. And not only, you know, and that sucked. I was so miserable because I was like, oh, cool, SmackDown tickets. Like, I don't. And, like, you know what? It wasn't even like Raw. You know what I mean? It, like, it wasn't even like the good brand. It was SmackDown. Like, I remember I had a house show. And it was just miserable. And to boot, that was the day that said girlfriend kicked me in the face like three times on the way to the show.
God. Yeah, that's right. We pulled over on the highway.
And
right.
She up-kicked me. Broke my nose.
And Jamie, that was...
Over a zit.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
What?
Yeah. She was upset that we were talking about a zit. And she got a little upset.
Yeah, and on Jackass, there was... You know how they used to show like short clips of like meaningless stuff?
Yeah.
There was one clip in Jackass where they showed somebody popping a whitehead, and it was a very long and drawn out whitehead. So I don't know, you know, guys talk. Who knows how stuff comes up? Just like this show. So we're talking about it, and his girlfriend at the time is like, "Stop it, Ray! Stop it, Ray!" And we're just laughing, and she's like freaking out, and then she throws and punches him in the face.
Yeah, while I was driving.
Seriously.
So he pulls over to the side of the road, and he's like, "Get out of the car. Get out of the car."
She thought I was going to leave her there. That was the problem.
Oh, my God.
She thought I was going to leave her there.
So he gets out of the car, goes around to the passenger side, and as soon as he opens it, like a grasshopper, she's throwing kicks right into his face. And all Ray's trying to do is calm her down, and he's like, "Relax. Relax."
She, like, Liu Kang bicycle kicked me in the face. Like,
it's late. What are you doing this whole time?
Oh, that's
just sitting back there doing nothing at all.
Like a kid in a bad divorce, I'm sitting in the back seat. And just finally gets out of the car. And he's like, "Would you just relax?" And he takes her and he's like trying to slowly put her down to the ground so that she'll stop bucking. And she just slowly looks to me in the back seat as her hand grips the glass. And I'm like, I want to go home. Right?
She kicked me in the nuts. That's when she was going down to the ground after kicking me in the face.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But Jamie.
Hey, we went and had a good time that night.
That's what I was going to say. After she calmed down, they literally got back in the car. They put
like nothing happened. On,
and it was like, yeah. Like
nothing happened.
She started eating food, yummy, yummy in my tummy, and everything.
It was a beautiful relationship. Really was.
It sounds it. This is amazing.
Yeah. Well,
and the best
Smackdown
part about that,
tickets.
The best part about that gift was we were so early in our wrestling training that we had like that weird like chip on our shoulder where like, only marks get this sort of stuff for gifts. So it was extra douche chills.
Yeah.
So.
We were way too good to go to wrestling shows at that time.
Oh, God. That's amazing. That is amazing.
But, yeah, so that's kind of what's going on.
Hey, James, so before we go to break, I have a question for you. Have you heard about the Deadpool Christmas movie?
No.
Really?
Is it the one that they're advertising that's out now?
Yeah, there's a Deadpool Christmas movie. It's called Once Upon a Deadpool.
Ha, that's weird. As you're saying that and I'm watching the Kansas City game, I'm looking at Ryan Reynolds talk about it.
Oh, really?
Yes. What is it? What is this about?
It's a recut of Deadpool 2.
Oh, yes.
But it's PG-13.
Yes.
And the big like image, the teaser image they've released from it. It's, remember Fred Savage from The Wonder Years and Princess Bride?
Yes.
It's grown-up Fred Savage in the old Princess Bride bedroom.
That's amazing.
With Deadpool reading the story. So it sounds like what they're doing is they're going to Princess Bride Deadpool 2.
Mm.
With Deadpool reading him the story.
I'm really curious to see how that does. I feel like if I'm a parent and I was going to take him to see Deadpool, I would. I'm trying to think how Deadpool 1 was, other than the sex scenes.
Everybody was... I remember that being a big deal, like... Seeing everybody online going, if you take your kid to see this movie, you're a piece of junk, blah, 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 blah. Because it was rated R, and people were upset about that. So I remember it actually being a big deal.
The second one was rated R, too.
Yeah.
Right.
Loved the second one.
Did you really?
I did. You know why? I just get a kick out of, like, reincarnations and, reimagining of, like, non-traditional characters and seeing the Juggernaut. I really enjoyed how they did the Juggernaut. Like, really, really enjoyed it. Boy. 10 times better than X-Men 3.
See,
10 times better.
I like 80%. Did you see it, Ray?
I didn't see it.
See, I 80% liked it. The only thing I hated, Slade, and I love a good wink and a nod, like these meta movies, like the little meta moments.
Yep.
They beat him to death in that movie, though.
Oh, yeah, they do. But to be fair... and this is where, like, Brian Fury would listen to this episode and be like, again, if we have comics, blah, blah, blah. That's all Deadpool comics are. Is this, like, an oversaturation of breaking the fourth wall, consistently talking to the reader, like, all the time?
I like that. I don't know why he doesn't like about it. I mean, that's coming from the same guy who loved X-Men 3. Remember how excited he was after we got out of the theater?
You know what?
Who's this?
To this
Brian Fury.
I thought you were talking about me for a second, Ray. I'm sorry.
No, God, no.
Brian likes to argue. You know, he's against the grain kind of guy. So, like, I just remember. Again, I'm in the back seat. I just remember Ray and Brian literally arguing because Brian was like, that was probably the best of the three.
Which one was X-Men 3? What happened to that one?
That's X-Men the one where 3. They forced that Juggernaut scene in. If you remember at the time, I'm Juggernaut Bitch was like a meme, and it was like the biggest deal. And they like forced that scene in where Juggernaut came in and said, I'm Juggernaut Bitch. And everybody, you know, popped in the theater. Yeah, it was terrible. The whole movie was awful.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Exactly. It's not much to remember.
The one I saw, it was on some channel recently. It was the last one, Age of Apocalypse.
You know what? I've never seen it, and Black
it's not
Friday,
good.
They had the DVD for like $3, so I got it.
Oh, good. You enjoy it. It's not good.
I picked up a lot of movies I already saw, which we've texted about, which we won't get into. I could have a whole show about DC Universe stuff, but But yeah.
Speaking of getting Brian Fury irate.
Well, he's never seen it, so there's no way to even get him irate. He's just gonna give generalized comments. Speaking of Brian Fury, before we go to break, that second time we've said it, Jamie, before we recorded today, you said hold off. I want to hear this while we record. And so this morning, we were talking to our friend Julian.
Yeah.
And so our friend Julian asked a question to the group. And I'm going to ask you this question, Jamie.
Okay.
Take your family out of it, so yep. Just so it'll be a lot easier. He was like, does everybody here have insurance? Like health insurance.
Okay.
And we're like, yeah, we got health insurance. So his company offers him health insurance. I think it's like $150 a month.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't think I'm going to get health insurance. He goes, I only go to one visit a year. He goes, and that means if I don't go for any visits in 2 years, I'm wasting $3,000-$4,000.
Oh, my God.
And Ray and I proceeded to try to make him understand how the simplest of procedures will put him in debt for life.
Exactly.
He's an idiot.
And he still, to the point that, like, it just fizzled out, he wouldn't respond to us anymore. He could not understand.
Yeah, he didn't grasp health insurance. He didn't grasp health insurance.
So I think, Jamie, I guess the reason why I bring this blurb up is I really think that there needs to be a show, if we're trying to just fill air, where we need to get life lessons from Julian just to kind of understand what not to do in life.
That, now that you said it, he got into a Facebook discussion about 2 months ago with somebody else that we all know on the exact same topic. And they were both saying that, well, you know, if you do the math, if I only have one physical a year and that's $300 and it's $100 a month, I'm losing $900 a year. And I'm like, and in my head, I don't respond to much on social media anymore because it's not worth it.
Yeah.
In my head, I'm going, okay, literally you don't understand the definition of the word insurance. Like, yeah, insurance is you pay a little bit over a long period of time just in case. Yeah, and then you're protected.
Yeah, hopefully it never happens to you. It's never, knock on wood, I never really needed it. And I've been paying for years, never needed it. But all it takes is him to slip outside his house. Something goes wrong, and oh man, his life's over.
And I haven't had insurance forever, and I, you know, mean procedures that I've had to have done, and I that put me in the hole.
Yeah, it's. I don't think the average person. Again, I'm not surprised this conversation is about Julian, but like the average person doesn't understand how much the most simple procedure costs.
Yep.
So Jamie, if you're willing, I'd really like to get a four-way, whether it's a call, probably in person, because
Julian
gets really, really on tilt when it's more in person. And I'd like to get Ray with us when this happens.
Absolutely.
And we'll figure it out. But yes, I think there's a tip of an iceberg when it comes to Julian's life advice, even if it turns into a segment, even if it's a pre-recorded, like, Julian's life advice, and he gives you some amazing tips, you know?
Oh, I can't wait to. I'm now suddenly much more excited about 2019 than I was 26 minutes ago.
Oh, man. All right. So, with that said, let's go to a quick break. When we come back, another great bit Julian could talk about, but a lot of PC stuff is going on around the country right now. And so, we'll just kind of like leave it to an open forum. We'll discuss a few things when we come back, because you are listening to For the Pops on the NEI Pop
Network. Hey, everyone, this is Jamie from the For the Pops podcast. You know, on our show, you hear me talk all the time about Undercoverwear, Chaotic Wrestling, and a lot of the other companies I've started or worked for. Over the course of my 20-plus year career, I've helped dozens of businesses and literally thousands of individuals reach their personal and financial dreams. And you know what? Now I want to help you. If you have a small business, a family-owned company, or maybe just a great business idea, reach out to me. Maybe you're looking for a job but need some help with your search or rewriting your resume. Just let me know. Who knows? Maybe you're a pro wrestler or a pro wrestling promoter who needs some tips on growing your role in the industry. Well, I can help. Check out our website. It's ohanaane.com. That's OHANAANE.com. Or just go to forthepops.com and follow the link at the top of the page. My company, Ohana Enterprises, we offer everything from individual coaching to marketing packages to website design and even more. Our only goal is to give small businesses and individuals the boost you need to succeed. So check us out at ohanane.com and let us help you make your dreams a reality.
Are you a wrestling fan, but you've always wanted to get in the ring? Do you want to follow in the footsteps of superstars like Donovan Dijak and Flip Gordon? Then check out the New England Pro Wrestling Academy. At the NEPWA, you can live your wrestling dreams and train at the best pro wrestling school in the Northeast. Check out neprowrestling.com for information on joining and about their upcoming fantasy camp. It's neprowrestling.com. Start your pro wrestling dreams today.
Listening to For the Pops on the NEI Pop Network. I am Scotty Slade. As always, I'm joined by my tag team partner, wrestling entrepreneur Jamie J. Mikowski. And this show, we are bringing back The Ray. And guys, apparently there's a thing going on called PC. I don't know if you guys are aware.
The Performance Center. Movie. Actually, yes. I think a lot of the things at the Performance Center were based on
Jamie,
what Chaotic Wrestling did with the CTC.
No, politically correct.
PCU, the movie from the early 90s. That was a good movie.
No. So, like, it just seems that the way that the country is trending, it just seems that everybody needs to watch what they say. Yeah. And I'm trying to make it sound like I'm not being insensitive. Just recently, within the month, radio stations have been pulling the song Baby It's Cold Outside. This has actually been snowballing, no pun intended,
ba-dum-bum.
Where over the years, people have been assuming that this song is about a man who is forcing a woman to stay so that he can have his way with her, like borderline rape. Let's just throw that R word out there, because that is what's being said about the song.
Are we able to say that word? Can you say that word?
Yeah, we can say that word when describing the song.
Okay.
As long as you're not saying that you're pro that word, then it's okay.
Who's pro that word?
Nobody. I'm just saying. So it's been pulled from some stations, which is funny because there's been memes popping up about radio DJs saying, you know, we're not playing that song, but here's Cardi B singing about eating her ass. Like, there's several there's several memes out there. So I decided to look up exactly where this song originated from. And you guys are both familiar with the song?
Very.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite holiday karaoke songs.
Well, it's funny because when I looked into the background of the song, I was actually more impressed with the song, and it actually boosted, like, I was like, all right, like, I gave a nod to it. So at the time, I believe the year was like 1944.
Picture it's up in the
1940s. The time didn't allow women to stay at men's houses after 8 p.m. It was like – that was like the stigma. If you stayed at a non-married man's house after that time, you were looked at completely differently.
Yeah, as a square.
Yep. And so that's why there's a lot of sayings like, what would the neighbors say? You know, people would talk. And it's not – has nothing to do with having sex. It was strictly that there was a curfew – back in that time frame where women just should not, I mean, both sides theoretically should not be hanging out that aren't married alone after 8 p.m. And so there's another thing like what's in the drink, I guess, was another line that was thrown in. That was actually a very big saying back in the day, which this song used it more as like the girl wanted to have an excuse because she wanted to at least have an excuse why she stayed after 8 o'clock. So now you take all this innocence where all this is about staying over somebody's house. You fast forward. We don't care. It's not weird. Like, Jamie, if you go outside and somebody's leaving the house next door at 2 a.m., you don't think twice about it. And everybody just jumps to the conclusion that it's all about sex and forcing themselves on the other person. And I'm not going to lie, it's pure madness. And what's crazy is it was definitely like edgy at the time. So this song even then was an edgy song, but it was more of a stand against trying to be against what was happening at the time. It was trying to pioneer a new thought process. And I know that, like, I'm really trying to right-wing all of this, but that was the intent of the song, is to try to point out our social differences and how ridiculous they were.
But as a follow-up on the story, originally this all started with a station in Cleveland that banned it.
Yes.
Then some other ones jumped on the bandwagon, like the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Company, across Canada banned it. And then there was a station out in San Francisco, out in the Bay Area. They pulled it temporarily, and they said, we're going to do an online poll. Overwhelmingly, people came back and said, put the damn song back on the radio. And what drives me crazy, look, you can get me started on the whole political correctness thing in full. That would be a great one when Julian's on, because I will go full on rant about my thoughts on some of the political correctness crap that goes on now. But in terms of tonight's discussion, what infuriates me the most about the PC movement is you can't apply the standards of today on the actions of the past.
Yeah.
Like you said, it was a different time. Certain things that were said back then, the way certain things worked, in today's world, that'd be unacceptable. But you can't apply today's standards, something that took place that long ago, and criticize and crucify people for just being part of society, being part of the mainstream at that time. I think that's crap.
Well, you know what? But what's even worse with this particular case, Jamie, is like, don't get me wrong, some things just don't age well. So, like, you go back and there's a lot of, like, black humor that, like, now people would just, like, wince at.
Sure.
This particular instance, at least, the only reason it's being misinterpreted is because of our comfortability compared to what the comfortability was back then. There isn't any prejudice involved. There isn't any sort of sexual innuendos, but because of how progressive our society's become, we're interpreting it.
We're progressive?
Okay. All right, sure, whatever. But you know what I'm saying? Like, where we've gone from, where we come from, mm-hmm. we are completely trying to take that as if this song was released today,
correct,
this is what it meant. So, I mean, don't get me wrong, when there's race stuff, I get it, but this is cut and dry, and it blows my mind.
But
it's like,
good, Ray.
It's like one of those things where, like, no matter what happens, if someone's offended by it, now it's kind of like we got to just deal with it. If someone's offended by that song, or if a group of people or individuals are offended by that song, unfortunately, we have to kind of fold and make them happy at this point. That's just kind of where we are.
And, you know, I'm glad you use that word offended, because while I won't say what I do for work or where I work or things of that nature, but I am in a position of upper administration.
Here we go.
Yep, here we go is right. You would be surprised that the term offended makes everybody quickly uncomfortable and fall in line regardless of the situation.
Yeah, it's a buzzword.
Yeah, big time. So, like, even if somebody like myself is stern towards an employee, or even if it's just straight, like, they messed up and I'm going to tell them what's up, if an employee feels offended that I approach them in that manner, quickly HR takes a double look.
Yep.
Slade, you know who I was talking to literally yesterday was, I remember last February we had an old friend of mine, Nancy Cosimini. She was our sex and romance expert. And she and I worked together in a lingerie company, and she's actually moved on to the sex toy world. She's a sales rep for Topco, which is one of the biggest and she and I were talking this whole – she's very right-wing conservative, as am I. We were just talking about the holidays, and this topic came up. And I said to her, I'm like, Jesus, Nancy. I said, could you imagine hiring like 20-somethings now around us 20 years ago in a lingerie company? The things we used to say to each other and do to each other. Now you'd see me on the news with all these other guys getting accused of horrible things. Yeah. When at the time, I'll bring up another example to you guys. And Ray, I'm sure you know because you're around us all. Slade, we don't have to go into detail. There are certain jokes that have been being made about me for 18 years in chaotic wrestling.
That you're, like, really rich?
No, it would be the other one. It would be the other one where I actually think on one of the episodes of Let the Chaos Begin, we had John Walters on. I don't even remember what we were talking about, but I mentioned I was listening to something, and John said, "Oh, show tunes."
Yeah, I mean it's funny because you're actually like on point. There was when I first joined Chaotic, I just not that I assumed. Assumes the wrong word, but like yeah, when I joined Chaotic, like the joke borderline made people think it was real. Was it like Jamie was a switch hitter that had a wife or a beard? Like, you know what I mean? Do you know what the term beard means, by the way?
Which one of
yeah.
us?
Yeah. Of course. Yeah, I know what it means.
Yeah, I know you know what it means. All right, I wasn't sure if Jamie heard of it. But, yeah. And they busted your chops a lot about it.
Oh, gosh, yeah. To this day, it's the go-to joke with all of our friends.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's the whole point is I don't get offended by it. Because it's a friendly environment. When Nancy and I used to work together, like I said, the things we used to say and do to each other, I guess nowadays, like I said, I'd be brought up on charges. So would she.
It comes down to intent, you know? Like, it's intent on what you mean and what was intended. And I think that's where it all gets lost. And I think people just kind of forget that.
Well, but I feel bad. And again, look, I can get ultra defensive. I've got a daughter in high school. And so, heaven forbid something ever happens to her, I'll be brought up on murder charges. But at the same time, you know, I got to think, at the same time, I feel bad for, like, a boy in high school or college now. Because I'm going to go back in time. I don't know about you guys, about how confident, how great you were at that point in time. At that age, when you're trying to date a girl and hormones are kicking in, and yeah, you're probably trying to get her, if you're in college, spend the night with you or hook up or whatever the phraseology is these days, you're awkward as all hell. Oh. You don't read signals well. You're awkward.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden it's like just being an awkward teen is a borderline crime.
Yeah.
And, you know, I said earlier, you know, then you hear some of the horrible stories. You got you do have the Bill Cosbys and Harvey Weinstein.
Yep.
And the Steve Wynns of the world. Where you hear the horrible stories. And I get those. That's different. But I just feel like it's a slippery slope now where, you know, there's so many shades of gray and they're all bad now.
Yep.
Right? Every shade of gray is bad.
It's all an intent. What is the? Oh, I should have. This is where Brian's like, yeah, you guys weren't prepared. Aziz, right? There's a stand-up comic. I can't think of his first name, but it's Aziz. And there was that whole drama. We're really going off topic.
Aziz Ansari from Parks and Rec. Yeah.
Where he's with this woman, and they're both practically. I mean, not practically. They're both nude, and she ultimately claims that she didn't want to do anything. It's just this weird spectrum that we've come in that, like, when all it takes is one person to not feel a certain way and or regret a certain thing, and it creates this giant bubble and huge catastrophe where huge ramifications have to happen.
But, Slade, I think you bring up a great point, because now let's take it to your professional career, and we're not going to say what you do.
Yep.
But it's 5 years from now, and you're up for the vice president of Widget Productions, where you work.
Yep.
Right? And going through the interview process, and all of a sudden, somebody on the little interview board turns the laptop and says, "Hey, we were Googling some stuff, and we found this promo from you in 2013.
How about how about when we just refer to the one with Sonny?
Wasn't your character? Wasn't one of his favorite phrases sloppy broads?
Yeah, that's my family friendly insult towards towards women. Yeah,
that could keep you from getting a job now.
I know. It's mm-hmm. it's
and something. For a small fee, Scotty Slade, I'll make sure that all that footage disappears.
Yeah, but you're 100% right. And what's even worse is even internally, when knowing long term, it's trying to maintain that aspect of just making sure nobody takes anything the wrong way. We recently had a holiday party at the office, and there was even people borderline upset that there was wreaths because of the descent of a wreath was more Catholic, and that there might be people that would be upset that Catholicism would play the majority in the office role. And to that, like I jokingly said, like my wife's a Scientologist, I'm agnostic, and my mother's Jewish. Like it gets to the point that like I'm unsure when we've lost the edge where we need to be worried about what makes us in respect of common sense. Like I'm not talking about like colorful racism. I'm talking about just even straight up the holidays in general. The fact that we've lost sight that it's not okay because the majority may be Catholic that we can't say Merry Christmas. So
it's funny. My father, and again, he's not exactly the figurehead you want to bring up as the example of perfect political correctness. He's awful at times. But he's also 75 years old from a different generation. The one interesting point he made is, and he grew up in Lawrence, Massachusetts. Ray, last time you were on, we talked about this. He and my mom actually grew up lower middle class. My father grew up in a mill town, not a lot of money. And he said, you know, my father's 100% Polish. And he used to hang out with friends who were Italian and Irish and French. And he said, at the time, they would call each other all those little ethnic slurs that I'm not allowed to say anymore.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, yeah, the French kid was calling the Polish kid one thing, the Polish kid would respond back, and then they'd both insult the Italian. And nobody took offense because it was all just part of, you know, their rapport at the time.
Yeah.
As
again,
friends.
An intent.
Yep.
Yeah, they weren't trying to hurt each other's feelings. They weren't trying to be like, you know, this is the your kind can't come around here. But they were just calling each other, making fun of each other. That's it.
You don't even have to look that deep, Jamie. I rewatched Spider-Man: Homecoming the other night,
yeah.
And the main villain, Michael Keaton, at the very beginning of the movie, was just like, "Yeah, back in my day, we played cowboys and Indians." And the guy to his right goes, "Native Americans." It's that.
That's right.
It's just that level. It's I don't know. I mean,
girls got criticized for dressing up as Pocahontas, for like the Disney Pocahontas.
If you want to talk about drama, Jamie, I don't think we brought it up on this show. When I was down in Disney, it was right around Halloween. I was reading full blown articles about how white children weren't allowed to dress as Black Panther,
and yeah,
it gets to the point where. Whose agenda are we pushing? Is it the kids who like us as kids? I mean, I can't speak for you, but like us as kids, I couldn't tell you the race of the characters I liked because that wasn't the reason why I liked them.
Right.
And it's crazy the direction that things are going. The fact that if my nephew, who genuinely enjoyed Black Panther, is going to get grief because he wants to dress up as Black Panther – is maddening.
Isn't that what you want?
It depends who to, though.
Well, on the flip side of that, let's go away from the white black piece. I have gotten into arguments where people are upset when females dress up as male superheroes. Like it goes in all directions.
Are we talking about the sexy versions?
Nice.
Because I'm on board. I'm completely on board with that.
Even if it's not the sexy version, I have gotten into genuine arguments about concepts of female Thors. Even when there's a genuine female Thor in the comics now, it's that sort of approach by society. It's just weird to me.
It's because we're from a different time, an old time.
Speaking of old times, I'll briefly bring this up. Kevin Hart is no longer hosting the Oscars because of a tweet from 2011 where he said that if he came home and his son was playing with $2, he'd tell him to stop because that's gay.
Well, it was multiple tweets though, right? Just for
yes, it was.
It was multiple tweets. But, not that I'm one way or the other.
But he's a con. But okay, this is this shifts my argument a little bit, Slade. Because he's also a comedian. At the time, he was a stand-up comic.
Yeah,
and throughout history, the entire point of stand-up comedy is to push the envelope, to be borderline offensive, and to bring up often uncomfortable subjects to make people laugh.
And he apologized for those comments previously.
Yeah.
And if and for and they requested that he did that he apologized. He said no and everything else, and then everything had happened where he stepped down. And I feel like I saw he did apologize eventually, because he had to, like, online. He apologized again online. And then everybody kind of came to his defense, pulling out other people's tweets from years past, like Sarah Silverman and other people that had either some kind of homophobic tweet or slur or anything like that. And then it was different. People saw it as different because from what I had read and from what they were saying, that they knew that they were with them. So any kind of joke they knew didn't have any ill intent, whereas Kevin felt that his jokes had ill intent in them.
But Ray, do you follow college football at all?
No, gosh, not.
Well, neither do I. Believe it or not, neither do I.
Neither does anybody.
Cheryl and I actually joke. Whenever I say on like a Saturday afternoon, I'm going to go watch college football or college basketball. That's code for I'm going to take a nap on the couch.
Yeah.
But literally within an hour and change, within hours of the guy who won the Heisman this year, I think he was from Oklahoma.
Yep.
Within hours, USA Today had already published an article publishing tweets he had made when he was 15 years old.
Dude, do you remember the All-Star game? Oh, everyone's going to kill me now. The pitcher for the closer for the Padres? I can't remember.
Trevor Hoffman?
No. Yeah, Trevor Hoffman. Do you remember Trevor Hoffman?
Well,
no,
he was a closer for the Padres for like 14 years.
No, it was this All-Star game. It was the one that just passed.
This one. Oh.
And the kid it's either Padres.
Yes.
And they pulled. So this kid was in. He was in game. He was in the game. And his family was there watching this kid. This is his first All-Star game. He's a kid. He was like 20 something. And while he's on the mound, they dig through his Twitter account because people are putting him over because he's blowing everybody away.
Josh Hader.
Yes. So he's blowing people away, and everybody's kind of like starting to get his name out there. So someone digs through his Twitter account and finds some homophobic stuff. And I actually it was homophobic. I think it was some of it was racist too, and whatever. But
was it the kid from the Brewers, Josh?
Yes.
Josh something.
Yes.
Josh Hader.
Hater. But it was tweets from him from like when he was 15. Yeah. He was like 15. And they pulled this stuff out, ready? So they pulled this stuff out in the middle of the frigging game on this kid. After the game's over, he doesn't even know what's going on. His family had to take their jerseys off that had his name on it. They were turning his name on inside out. And they were being harassed at the stadium, and they were clueless because whoever found it tweeted out the stuff, and it got retweeted so many times that his family was being killed, just like live, as it was happening. And he had no clue. And he got back to the locker room, and he was like completely taken aback. He's like, what are you, what? And it was just, can you imagine that? Like coming back and not knowing anything, and then being hit with tweets from like 5 years ago when you were a kid that you probably don't even remember anymore.
Although Ray, you've just introduced a new strategy for the upcoming season. So like, if the Yankees are playing the Sox, what the Sox do is find like whoever's at bat some offensive tweets and throw them up on the big board, so he can see them out in center field.
that's what everybody's gonna do from now on. Just find dirt on people, and that's why they have legal teams. They have teams hired to hire people just to search through people's Twitter and to keep people protected. Now,
do you remember, Ray? The closest thing I can remember to that is, and you'll remember the pitcher's name, but he was dating the model Tawny Katane. And she beat the crap out of him. Do you remember this at all?
No.
There was a major league pitcher. He had dated the model, Tawny Katane. And she was one from all the White Snake videos on the hood of the car.
Yeah, on the hood of the car, yeah.
And so he was in a visiting city. And they call him out of the bullpen. The PA guys play White Snakes. Here I go again. And I guess he went banana. The guys got fired. The team had to apologize.
That's great.
But that's the closest thing I can think of to, you know, showing somebody's tweet on the big board.
Imagine that, though. That's the world we live in, where your tweet could just magically appear on the big screen while you're at bat from like 10 years ago.
Ray, last time you were on, you and I went head-to-head in the For the Pops pop quiz. Well, tonight, it's going to be the Slade brothers facing off.
Are you going to school him again?
I've prepared a For the Pops quiz.
Okay.
So sure. When we come back,
with Scotty to cheat on. All right, go on.
It's going to be Scotty versus Raid, brother versus brother, brother, in the For the Pops pop quiz. You're listening to For the Pops right here on the NAI Pop Network.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Are you looking for a way to spice up your life? Maybe add some fun and excitement to the bedroom? Then check out BigOBoutique.com for everything you're looking for. Whether you want to shop for pretty lingerie and pajamas, or are looking for sensual lotions and toys to try out, Big O Boutique has exactly what you need. And don't worry, our online store is easy to use and will help you find all the right tools for you and your partner. We carry a huge assortment of lingerie, lotions, and more, all shipped discreetly to your door. As a special offer for the Pops listeners, enter code POPS at checkout to save 10% on your order. That's P-O-P-S to save 10%. So go to BigOBoutique.com today. That's BigOBoutique.com.
You hear about Chaotic Wrestling's past on Let the Chaos Begin. But if you want to see its present and future, then go to Chaotic Wrestling Live. You can see all the Chaotic Wrestling action live and in person across New England. Go to chaoticwrestling.com/tickets to see the current schedule of shows and to purchase tickets. It's all the action of Chaotic Wrestling live at chaoticwrestling.com.
You're listening to For the Pops on the NAI Pop Network. And Jamie said it right before break. It's brother versus brother, brother. You know, brother of the brother of the brother, brother. It's Ray Slade. It's Scotty Slade or Corey Sage or The Ray or whatever other monikers he used to use. But Ray, it's you and I this week for the Pops.
T-Y.
All right. So Ray, I think Ray, you beat me last time. I think you've beaten Slade a few times, right?
Yeah, he's
just trying to split up a solid team going into the postseason. That's all he's trying to do.
It's not going to happen.
No, our regular listeners know we do our For the Pops pop quiz, and Ray is one of our regular guests. You have a great success rate. I don't have the stats in front of me, but we're going to see how you do tonight as we approach what might be the last For the Pops pop quiz of 2018.
Okay.
So here we go.
I'm a little worried because
don't
after
worry.
That question you tweeted, you texted me today. All right, let's go.
All right, ready? Question number one. I was going to my teenage daughter, 15-year-old Nikki Jamikowski. You can find her on Twitter. She's at Nikki Josephine, at N-I-C-C-I-E Josephine. And I said, yeah. Nikki, hey Nick, what are all you cool kids saying these days? You and your squad, you and your peeps, give me a cool slang term that I can bring to For the Pops. And that's when she says, Dad, leave me alone. I'm FaceTiming with my friends. And I go on the internet and I look up a different word. But this week, Nikki actually spoke to me. And she gave me the phrase, snatched. What does the word snatched mean?
This is uncomfortable.
I mean, I know what it means, right?
Keeping in mind our previous conversation before the break about political correctness. And that I got this from my 15-year-old daughter. What does the word snatched mean?
Okay.
In a sentence.
Ray, as our guest, you get to choose. You go first or second tonight?
Second.
All right. Scotty Slade. Oh, I love the quiz. It makes me so happy.
I'm just gonna say what I know it to mean, and when somebody snatches something, it's like quickly shut up, Ray. Quickly, you know, like steal something like that. Like,
I can steal something.
Oh man, my purse was snatched.
What was that accent you were doing?
My purse was snatched.
My purse was snatched.
Unbelievable, guys, my purse was snatched.
So I don't think it means that at all.
Okay, what do you think it means, Ray?
I'm pretty sure it means you look good, but I don't think it means anything about getting your purse snatched.
Wow. Well, the correct answer is, the definition of snatched is, yeah, it's on fleek or you look good.
Yeah. Oh,
your man. Outfit is snatched.
Mm. Or, is the other one, too.
No, that's the only definition we're going to discuss tonight, Ray.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Is that you look good. Ray, you are coming out hot tonight.
Thank you.
In the For the Pops Pop Quiz. Slade, are you trailing?
Snatched.
Sorry, I was thrown off.
Already trailing, 1-0, as our guest Ray has taken the lead. Question number 2. It was revealed just a couple weeks ago by Forbes magazine that whom is the highest paid daytime personality in 2018, topping over $147 million in income? This person is on daytime TV, highest paid at $147 million.
Is it my turn? Do I have to go first?
Well, we need to let Slade think a little bit, and Ray, you'll get to go first.
I only know like 3 people.
I do have to say that a couple of times lately, I've been like home during the day, and I'll flip on the TV in the background. I got to tell you, if I had to sit home and watch daytime TV all day, I'd probably shoot myself.
That's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
I am. I used to like. I don't want to say any names, but I mean, we've talked to him before. Wayne Brady. I used to love him on Whose Line. He is unwatchable on Let's Make a Deal.
Is gonna have to Wayne Brady gonna have to kill a bitch?
What was that?
Is Wayne Brady gonna have to kill a bitch?
Stop it, Ray.
Oh, sorry.
All right, Slade, do you have an answer in your head?
I do.
All right, Ray.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It could be Ellen. So,
Ellen DeGeneres. Sky Slade.
I only know of Michael Strahan, Judge Judy, and Dr. Phil. So I'm going with Dr. Phil.
Female, didn't you?
I never said female. I try to keep these gender neutral, Ray. This is 2018. I keep all my questions gender neutral.
Shit. Okay.
Slade, you were so close. You always go with your first instinct. You should always usually go with your second, though.
No, answer,
it's Judge Judy.
It's Judge Judy.
I remember it. Yeah.
$147 million. A big portion of this year was for the first time in the 20-something years she's been on TV. She finally sold the rights to her old episodes to CBS, which made an even bigger payday.
That's amazing.
I remember reading that, too.
Shit. My grandfather would be so disappointed in me.
He was Maloney, ma'am.
He would still VHS all of the episodes.
I DVR Judge Judy every day.
That's amazing.
And I keep 5 like saved on my DVR. That's
at least it's not. At least it's not Michael Strahan. That was all I was worried about.
I can't stand him. Anyways, that's another topic for another day. Question number 3 with Ray leading 1-0. Scotty, you gotta phrase this in one of your favorite ways. What music megastar?
Oh, I know this answer.
Teased fans for a week about a new music video, showing quotes and references from teen movies like Mean Girls, Legally Blonde, 13 Going on 30, and Bring It On, before debuting their new video last week. And let's see. Ray went first. Slade. Ray, you're up. I'm sorry, Slade, you're up first on this one.
All right, Beyonce. I mean, you kind of gave it away when you said megastar.
What
know?
Music and megastar?
And we're on For the Pops. Those two things instantly point towards Beyonce.
Scotty's locked in his answer with Beyonce, Ray.
I will forever say Beyonce anytime mega music star.
Music megastar.
I think... it's Spice Girls.
It is not the Spice Girls, as thrilled as I would be if it were them. It was actually Ariana Grande with her song Thank You Next. It was a big flashback to 90s movies where she recreated scenes from Mean Girls, Legally Blonde, 13 Going on 30, and Bring It On. She even had guest stars. Kris Jenner was in it. And Jennifer Coolidge, who played the hairdresser in Legally Blonde, recreated the role for the video too. And the big part of the video, it's called Thank You Next. She actually does a very nice messaging and goodbyes to a number of her past boyfriends, including...
Oh, Pete.
Pete Davidson, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so heading into question 4, Ray still with a 1-0 lead.
Killing it.
Ray, you're going to go first on this one.
Oh, all right.
All right. What star of stage and screen just announced a summer arena tour singing songs from their well-known movie roles?
Oh, I know this one. I actually know this one. Do I have to say what? No, I'll wait.
You wait. You wait, because Ray has to go first on this one anyways, if you're so confident in your answer.
I'm very confident.
Because I don't know. You say it again. Give me the question again. The person is they're going to be going on tour.
What star of stage and screen just announced a summer arena tour singing songs from their well-known movie roles?
This one's easy.
Come on, Ray. I think this even got talked about in our group chat at one point.
Come on, Ray. Ray, we need an answer.
I don't know.
Oh, guess somebody. Guess a star of stage and screen.
Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp. Sky Slade.
Hugh Jackman, Greatest Showman.
That is correct. It is Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman's going on an arena tour. He's actually going to be in Boston on June 27th. I've already got my tickets if you guys want to join.
Yeah.
I need a few more.
No, thank you.
We can all
Brian,
go.
Brian Fury Ray is very excited about that.
Is he really?
Well, he would be. He would be.
I can't remember if it was our group chat or the other one, but yeah, he loves it. So.
Yeah, it is. It's Hugh Jackman. He's going to be doing songs from The Greatest Showman and Les Mis, and probably The Boy from Oz and some other things he's been in. So wow, good job, Scotty Slade.
Yeah, Brian.
Well, this is great. I always love it when we go into the last question with a tie. Because what we're going to do is I'm going to have a question, and what we're going to do is we're going to go back and forth, and each of you will get 1 point for answer. You don't get penalized for a wrong answer. And we'll just continue until either all the answers are gone. Neither of you can come up with an answer, or I just get bored by the whole damn thing. All right, so here we go with question number 5. 11 different actors have portrayed Superman in live-action movies or television roles.
Ooh.
We're going to go back and forth. Even though I'm more of a Batman guy, we've done a lot of Batman questions on the show. I thought, let's switch it up.
Is it TV? You said TV, too,
it is,
right?
Okay. It is movies or television. 11 different people have portrayed Superman in a live-action version. So these are not animated voiceover guys. They have all actually portrayed Superman, either in the movies or on TV.
Who
now, Ray,
first?
Ray, would you like to go first or second? You are our guest.
I will go first.
Ah.
Yep, because I'm going to take the easy one right out.
Okay.
And I want to go Christopher Reeve.
Christopher Reeve is correct.
Yeah, we'll take that one right out.
I'm coming back with the second easiest one, Dean Cain.
Dean Cain also correct. Tied 2-2.
Brandon Roth
is correct.
We'll go with the current Superman.
You need to give me the actor's name.
Nah, I know it's Henry. Guy. Henry. Cavill.
Henry Cavill is correct.
Is he going to play Superman going forward? I heard rumors.
The guy, some people said he quit. The guy who played Aquaman said, Jason Momoa said, no, he is going to be going forward. He said that, I think, on the Tonight Show the other night. Ray, the score is tied 3 each.
It's going to get real.
Yeah,
I only know one more.
yeah, the original guy.
Oh.
It was Reeves too, wasn't it?
What's his first name, dickhead?
What's his first name?
It was probably dickhead. George Reeves.
George Reeves is correct.
I'm done. And I'm done. So, Scotty, if you get any more, you're going to get this one. I'm tapped out on that one.
I got nothing.
Come on.
Wait, I got one that doesn't count. Nicolas Cage was once in line to be Superman.
I'm sorry, we cannot count Nicolas Cage.
He was, in fact, in line at one point. There's photos floating around the internet. Oh, wow. This is hands down one of the worst ones.
Not on your part.
Wow, who was the Superman that was in the one before Henry Cavill? Did we already name him?
Yeah, Brandon Roth. That was the one with the terrible. That was a terrible one with.
So
Kevin Spacey.
I don't know the guy's name.
Did you ever hear the story that I met him? Ray.
Kevin Spacey?
Yeah, I met Kevin Spacey, yeah. Brandon Roth, and Kate. Was it Kate?
Was it in the courtyard in Hawaii?
No, it was not in the courtyard in Hawaii.
I thought you met someone in the courtyard.
It was in the courtyard in Paris.
Sorry, I apologize.
Okay. The only other Superman that I know of is just the Smallville, but I don't know the actor's name.
Oh yeah, that guy. Does that count?
Yeah, that would count if Slade can name him.
Yeah,
he donned the suit.
He donned the suit.
And that's what makes me angry, because that's all I remember is because you just shared the link.
Once or twice a year, that pops up on my Facebook feed. It makes me so happy every time.
I'm done. I can't. Yeah. Do I technically win, though? Do I win?
You're up 4-3 right now.
Okay, yeah. Well, I passed on my next one, so there you go.
I got nothing. The Smallville guy is the only one I know left. George Reeves was my back pocket. I didn't know Ray knew George.
Yeah, I'm done.
In what might have been the fastest For the Pops victory in For the Pops history,
yeah,
Ray,
baby.
Congratulations. You've won it 4-3. The ones you guys missed, Kirk Allen, he played Superman in the 40s, in the black and white 40s movies.
No clue.
John Hames Newton and Gerard Christopher, they played Superboy on the TV series from 1988 to 1991.
Oh, okay.
John Hames Newton played him for one season. Gerard Christopher played him for two. Tom Welling was the one you were scrambling for. Scotty Slade. He was the star of Smallville. And also on TV right now on Supergirl and in the Arrowverse is Tyre Hoechlin. He plays Superman on Supergirl.
Come on.
Yep.
And then the only reason we made it all the way to 11 is in 1975, there was a TV musical adaptation of the Superman Broadway musical. And Superman on that was played by David Wilson. But Tom Welling was the one I thought you guys would get.
No. We both knew who he was. We just...
Yeah.
All you knew was Don the Suit.
That's all we knew.
Don the Suit.
Yes.
Oh, God bless America. God bless America.
Do it.
Put that on your Twitter.
We will. I'll have to post that link. Oh, my God.
Well, with that said, congratulations, Ray.
Thank you. Again, I got to be, up there, right? I got to be at least the highest winning percentage of anybody that's ever been on this show, right?
I think over the holidays, I'm going to have to spend some of my spare time updating the For the Pop standings. They haven't been updated in a while.
Thank you. Please do. Put me right on top.
So with that said, right up there. So with that said, for Ray DiOrio.
Bro, dox me, why don't you?
For Jamie J. What?
Go on.
Should I not use the last name?
I'm doxed now. Now people are going to be showing up at my house.
All right. Nope. Unexpected. I'll redo it. I can re-record it.
Just beep it out. Just beep it out.
Is that what you... I'm re-recording at this point. Just shut up.
Yeah, great. Because it's Thursday at 10 o'clock. I have 4 hours to edit this whole thing. Great. Let's add more shit.
You're going to hear me lose my mind if somehow Williams gets in the end zone.
I'm behind. Please don't.
I can't help it. Especially if he gets 2 touchdowns. But anyway, here we go. 3. So with that said, for Ray, the Ray, Ray Slade, whatever you want to call him, for Jamie J. Mikowski, I am Scotty Slade. You've been listening to For the Pops on the NAI Pop Network.